Turn with me to Genesis 22. We're going to kind of extend what we talked about on Sunday, because we have to understand we need to be in position to be blessed. Say, I need to be in position to be blessed. And I'm going to say this now. Was that Bible study at our Pennsylvania location, and the question came up, well, isn't it hard? Or it's hard to do the things God called you to do. And we had a little discussion about that. And what came out of it was, is that I asked the question, well, what makes something hard? And folks called out a number of things. I said, there's really one thing that makes something hard. You don't want to do it. You think about that. I don't care what it is. If you want to do it, you'll find a way. And you won't care how long it takes. When I wanted to play basketball and run with the professional players, not having the skill set that some of them had, I had to be in, I realized that if I'm in super shape, I'll wear them down. So I put my body through things you might think were hard. I would drive, I had to take the bus 60 blocks away from home and run back home in the beach sand five days a week. So wasn't that hard? No, it wasn't hard, because I wanted to get my body in shape. So I don't care what I had to go through. So I determined that hardness is a frame of mind. You can think yourself out of something. We're going to talk about there, T-H-E-R-E. We're going to talk about there, because there is where we're going to find, where we're going to receive our blessings. There is going to be that place of comfort. There is where we're going to find the answers that we need. But it's our responsibility to go there. And we're going to talk about a couple of aspects of it tonight. So you should have found Genesis 22. I'm going to read several verses out of the Message Bible. Reads, after all this, God tested Abraham. God said, Abraham? Yes, answered Abraham, I'm listening. He said, take your dear son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I'll point out to you. So Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took his two of his young servants and his son Isaac. He had split wood for the burnt offering. He set out for the place God had directed him. On the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. Abraham told his two young servants, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and gave it to Isaac, his son, to carry. He carried the flint and the knife. The two of them went off together. Isaac said to Abraham, his father, Father, yes, my son, we have flint and wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Abraham said, son, God will see to it that there is a sheep for the burnt offering, and they kept on walking together. They arrived at the place to which God had directed him. Abraham built an altar and laid him on the wood. Abraham reached out and took the knife to kill his son. Just then, an angel of God called him out of heaven. Abraham, Abraham, yes, I'm listening. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't touch him now. Now I know how fearlessly you fear God. You didn't hesitate to place your son, your dear son, on the altar for me. Abraham looked up. He saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. Abraham took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham named that place God Jireh. Standard translations say Jehovah Jireh. Means God sees to it. That's where we get the saying, on the mountain of God, he sees to it. Now, there are a couple of things that happen in here that are significant. First one is, Abraham heard from God. God gave him directions. And I'm sure if I asked you to raise your hand, if you were here, you would. I asked the question, how many of you have heard directions from God? Well, Abraham heard the directions, and he knew what it meant. He knew the region of Moriah. He knew how far away it was. And he also knew that there were some mountains along the way, much closer to where he was, that would have been very suitable for an offering, a burnt offering. But while in the natural it may appear to be very suitable, but spiritually he would have been out of order because God told him to go to the land of Moriah. And when he got to Moriah, he would show them the mountain on which he was going to use for this burnt offering. Then Abraham said to Isaac, he spoke a couple of words of prophecy there. He told the servant, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you. Well, that in itself is interesting because God said, sacrifice Isaac. So that means the two of them were going to go to the mountain, but only one was going to come back. But he said, we're going to go worship and then we're going to come back. And when Isaac inquired about the sacrifice, Abraham said, God will see to it that there's a sacrifice, that there's a sheep for the burnt offering. And when God told Abraham not to touch Isaac, he turned and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. That's the most telling point. If Abraham doesn't go there, and there is that place where God told him, there's no ram in the bush. God sent the ram to Mount Moriah, and then he told Abraham, go to Mount Moriah. See, we mistakenly think that we can go where we want and do what we want, and God will catch up with us and bless us. There may be an occasion that might happen, but typically God honors obedience. If he sends you to a place, know that everything that he has for you, everything that you need, you'll find either at that place or on your way to that place. But it's going to be placed in your path. You may not see it. Abraham, in the natural, he didn't see it. But think about what he said. God will see to it that we have an offering. That's a lot like Philippians 4. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We need to think about that. He'll supply all your need as you go where he told you to go. God gave direction. Abraham received the direction, and now he has to make a choice as to whether he's going to follow the direction or go his own way. Kind of like your GPS system. Some of you right now may be stuck in some traffic as you're listening because you didn't listen to the GPS. But that GPS system is designed to direct you either in the shortest route or the fastest route and divert you away from any traffic or other road hazards. The problem is, because we know, we don't always listen to it. And sometimes it doesn't work out for us. And as I told you earlier, Abraham probably knew of all the mountain ranges that were closer than Moriah. But God told him to go there and perform a specific task when he got there. I'm going to use the word there and I a lot tonight, as you probably gathered by now. And that means in or at that place. So going there means you're in a particular place. You're at it, or you're on your way to it, or you're walking into it. But the principle is, if you want what God has for you, you got to go where he is. And you have to, so you have to go there. Now look at Mark 5. Different point of view, to a different slant. Same principle. Now in the crowd that day, this is on verse 25, and this is the Passion Translation. In the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all she had on their treatments, she was not getting better, but worse. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she heard about Jesus' healing power. She hadn't seen it, but she heard about it. And she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and spoke to the crowd, saying, who touched my clothes? His disciples answered, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at all this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you. That means there's a difference between a touch and a bump. A lot of people were bumping into him, but she touched him. She had an intent to get to him and touch him. But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd looking for the one who had touched him for healing. When the woman who experienced this miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before him trembling with fear and threw herself down at his feet saying, I was the one who touched you. And she told him her story of what had just happened. Then Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering. Again, there's a lot of things that were happening there. But basically, this woman did not stay home feeling sorry for herself. She'd been dealing with an issue for 12 years, spent all her money. What do you call it? Well, what state are you in when you spent all your money? You broke. You have no way to get provisions for yourself. And she heard about Jesus, specifically about his healing powers. And now she has to make a choice. She could have convinced herself, well, legally, I can't really go out in the crowd. I have to yell unclean and everybody's scattering. The street's so crowded, there's no place for me to go. Oh, well, maybe Jesus will come by my street. No. She'd been there 12 years, stuck in or near her home. And she heard about someone who could heal her. What is she going to do? She's going to have to get up and go there. Get up and go where the healer was. She had to do something, and that something required her to move. She knew where the source of her healing would be, and she had to get there. And nothing could stop her from getting there. When we realize what we need, folks, we have to get to the place where we don't let anything stop us from getting there. You don't have to sit and wait for things to happen. You can go there. When I looked reading at all of the accounts of Jesus' healing, I kept reading in different translations and different books of the Bible, talking about the Gospels, where multitudes followed him. Multitudes followed Christ. They didn't sit on the side of the road and hope he would pass by through their town. They found out where he was and they went there. Why? Because he had what they needed. He had what they wanted. And he had what he was giving away freely, but you had to be there. You had to be there. You had to do whatever you had to needed to do to get up and go there. Too many of us stay home feeling sorry for ourselves, thinking, well, the Lord said, in this world you will have tribulations. I guess this is my time to tribulate, because the word says so, I guess it's going to happen. No matter what I do, trouble's going to find me. So why should I get up and do anything? I'll just wait here for the Lord to come and deliver me, because he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he'll deliver me out of them all. Yeah, but you got to get up and do something. You got to go where the power is. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody gets to the Father unless they come through me. Nobody gets what the Father has for them unless they go through Christ. So you have to get up and go to Christ. And then you have to stay there. He said, abide in me as my word abides in you. You can ask what you will and it will be done. But you have to abide in him. You have to let his word abide in you. When you do that, you're taking yourself and you're putting yourself in Christ. He takes himself and puts himself in us. He's not going to leave. He's going to stay there. Sometimes we pull away for whatever reason and we wind up having some issues. Well, we have to go back there. And when you go back there, stay there and get all that God has for you. So whether he sends you there or you realize that what you need is there, there is where you have to get up and go. Don't stay where you are. This woman didn't stay home feeling sorry for herself. She'd been trying to get healed for 12 years. And now she hears about someone who's healing people all over the place. She said, I'm going there. She needed healing, but if healing was in her house, she would have been healed. So my point in sharing that is to let you know you can't continue to do what you're doing and expect to get different results. That's crazy. I said to one of my sons, he was having issues, and I said to him, your problem is you never understood the principle behind 2 + 2 = 4. And he would say to me, Dad, I know 2 + 2 = 4. I said, no, I know you know it. You don't understand the principle of it. Because you want 2 + 2 = 8. It doesn't work that way. If you want something different, you're going to have to do something different. We have to understand, if we want the blessings of God, we're going to have to go where he tells us to go and do what he tells us to do so that we're cleared so the blessings can land on us, I guess is the best way to say it. Because God sent the blessing. and the blessing's available to whoever comes and grabs it. Pastor Sarah gave a great analogy, and one of our former deacons shared it one evening at a prayer service. Pastor Sarah said, you need to understand that the promises of God are like your luggage when you come on from a trip. Your luggage, they offload it from the aircraft, and they put it on a cart or a truck or some mode of transportation, take it to a specific terminal, and put it on a specific carousel. And on that carousel, the luggage just goes round and around and will stay there until you decide you want your luggage to come and get it. And if it stays there too long, someone in authority at that airport will take your luggage and put it into a special room with your name on it. Nobody can get it except you. All you have to do is follow the directions to baggage claim, to your, I don't know what they call it, your carousel, and get your luggage. But we misread the signs, and we wind up in the wrong terminal. We don't realize it says baggage claim with an arrow letting you know or directing you to that place where your luggage is waiting for you. It's waiting for you. No one else can take it. They have security guards around to make sure, to ensure that you get your luggage. But you have to go there. You have to go there. And once you go there, you will get what belongs to you, but you're going to have to go. You can't say, well, I don't like Terminal A. I want to go to Terminal C. Go ahead. Nothing will be there for you. Don't blame the devil. That woman wanted to be healed. She was going to have to find out where her healing was and then go there to receive it, and that's what she did. That's what she did. Remember Jehovah Jireh, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. Abraham went to the mountain of the Lord, saw the provisions. This woman went to where Jesus was, saw her healing. In Jeremiah 29, verse 10 and 11, scripture we use all of the time, it's out of the Message Bible, says, this is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised to bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plan to give you the future you hope for. So since we know God has already said, I got your whole life planned out. I have every aspect of your life planned out. There is nothing about your life that I don't know about. It's already done. Well, if you believe that, you'll go where he tells you to go. You'll go where he is. You'll follow him wherever he goes. There are oftentimes, well, really, actually more than often, a lot of times, people will come up to me and they'll say, what should I do about this? Or I have these two choices. I don't know which one. Which one do you think I should take? And I give everybody the same answer. Anyone who's listening, you never have to ask me that question because you're going to get your answer right now. I look at them and I tell them simply, I'm not the one with the purpose and plan for your life. I could tell you something that sounds good and cause you to miss God by a country mile. So I suggest you go to the one who has the plans for you, the plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope in the future. That's not me. Go to the one who has that plan and follow his instructions. He's going to send you to where he sent you the blessings. He's going to send you. One of our children, I've told this a number of times, with her freshman year in college, that I didn't have the money to pay her tuition, and I always taught her that if she obeys God, she'll have everything she's always wanted, believing for. And so I'm like, God, what do I tell her? They're going to send her home because it's around this time of the year and her tuition's not paid. I got a call from the university, and the person that called me did not have the most pleasant disposition. But it seemed like it was a strain to her to share what she had to share with me. She said, I was just calling you to let you know that there was someone who had a large award, but they withdrew from the school, and my director said, give the money to your daughter, so her tuition is paid. And every time I tried to say something, she said, excuse me, I'm speaking. And when I tried to break her sentence, I said, I'm speaking. And she said to me, this school is 301 years old, and we've never done anything like this, and quite frankly, I don't know why we're doing it now. And I said, well, I think I know why you're doing it now, but thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry, that was the second year. The first year, someone came up to us and said, I'm supposed to pay her tuition. We didn't say, I'm going to go and pray about it. We said, thank you. Well, God had said to send her to this particular university. The first person he told was not me or her mom. God told her, this is where you go. My position is, God, I'm not against it, but you said I was the head of the household, so I think you need to let me know where you want me to send her. And at the right time, he told me. And we were all in agreement. Even though her high school college advisor was having a cow, they wanted her to go to a different university. And I said, she's not going to that university. Why not? It's a highly rated school. God didn't say send her there. So I don't care how it's rated, it won't be good for her, because that's not where God's provisions are. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised. God is going to do for us as we promised, but we need to be where he sent us. We need to be where he is, where his power is. And I'll tell you something. It's not just for us. God will send us someplace to be a blessing, or people will get blessed because we're in place where we're supposed to be. When Elijah, when God told Elijah to go dwell by the brook and he'd send ravens, I'm sure Elijah probably had some misgivings, but this is God telling him, so he went. And sure enough, stingy scavenger birds gave him food to eat, gave him flesh, it says. And he could drink all the water he needed from the brook. Well, now the brook dried up. God said, go to Zarephath. I have a widow woman who's going to take care of you. And this widow woman really couldn't even take care of herself. When the man of God arrived there and asked her for a drink of water, she said, I'm going to just make this cake for me and my son. We're going to eat it and die. She was preparing to die. She was preparing for her and her son, which represents her family. They were going to die. But Elijah was there, and he said, well, first do what I said, what I asked, and then do whatever else you're going to do. Well, not only was she able to make a cake for Elijah, she had enough for her and her family. And the Bible says they did eat many days. It came to pass that when her son got sick and died, Elijah took the boy, ministered to the boy, breath came back into the boy, and the woman said, now I know that the word of God is in your mouth is true. So this woman got the revelation about God's word because Elijah was where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to do. In Mark 16, why don't you go there? And this is the account of the Great Commission. I'm in the Passion Translation. So Jesus appeared before the 11 apostles as they were eating a meal, and he corrected them for having such hard, unbelieving hearts because they did not believe those who saw him after his resurrection. And he said to them, as you go into the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. I really like the way the Passion Translation stated this. As you go into the world. He didn't say sit down and let the world pass you by, and when they pass by, you just, you know, give them some scriptures or hand them a tract. He said, you go. He didn't ask the world to go anywhere. You go where? Into all the world and preach the gospel to the entire human race. Now think about that. The entire human race, does that exclude anybody? So that means we don't have to fail to do what Jesus commissioned us to do and use the Holy Ghost as a reason. Say, well, the Holy Ghost, you know, I wasn't led to witness to that person. Well, according to the scriptures, you were. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the entire human race. Whosoever believes the good news is baptized, and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. Those who act like they believe the word is true. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. I find it amazing. Thought just popped into my thinking. Says they will be supernaturally protected from snakes. Yet there's some picture that some Christians can't even look at a picture of a snake without freaking out. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. After saying these things, Jesus was lifted up into heaven and set down at that place of honor at the right hand of God. And the apostles went out announcing the good news everywhere as the Lord himself consistently worked with them, validating the message they preached with miracle signs that accompanied them. Who were the signs and benefits for? They were for the people that they were ministering to. But what activated the signs? Them going into all the world and preaching the gospel. Going where they were sent, doing what they were sent there to do, got people saved. If they hadn't have done If they hadn't gone, I'll say it that way, if they hadn't gone where Jesus sent them and did what Jesus instructed them to do, folks wouldn't have been saved. And Jesus would have had to, you know, in my type of thinking, he would have said, I need some different disciples here. Because these folks won't go where I tell them to go. He said, we are the church. We are founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And not even the gates of hell will prevail against the church. Now, if we feel that the devil is running rampant, it's because the church isn't where they're supposed to be doing what they're supposed to do. Because I'll never forget this as long as there's breath in my body. But when I was, I guess I was somewhere between 2 to 4 months old as a believer. And the devil was just dancing all over me because I had no clue really as to who I was. And I could use the excuse that I was only 2 to 4 months old. Can't expect a 2 to 4 month old child to know what they're supposed to do. So I called Pastor Clinton. And when he got on the phone, he said to me, the only reason I took this call is because I know you're new and you don't understand this. He said, so because of that, I have to take away from preparing to speak to 2,000 people to speak to you. I'm just getting smaller and smaller as he's saying that. And then he didn't tell me what to do about the devil. He said to me, I don't ever in life want to hear you complaining about what the devil's doing. Then his voice changed. He said, he's doing what he's supposed to do because he's the devil. He said, if you do what you're supposed to do, it won't matter what the devil does. And I was like, yes, sir. You got it? Yes, sir. See you on Sunday. Well, actually, the first thing he said was, obviously, you weren't paying attention when I was teaching on Sunday. And he was right, because I was trying to figure out what did he say that I would have helped me. But I never complained about anything the devil did after that. I started reading up, and I found out that Jesus gave me power over all the power of the devil, and nothing will by any means harm me. I found out that, yeah, in this world I will have tribulations, but it says, be not dismayed, because Jesus has overcome the world, and he's taken away its power to harm me. So reading those things, and you get an instruction to go someplace, you don't care what you're going to encounter, or who you're going to encounter, or why you have to go, or how long you have to stay. You don't care. When we read that all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable, so that the man of God will be proficient in every good work. When I remember that and meditate on that scripture, I'll go where I'm supposed to go and do what I'm supposed to do, because I don't care what I'll face, because I will have been fully equipped to do it. And I'll never get out of strength, because as I go, when I step into one thing, whatever strength I need comes to me. It's like my luggage. It's right here waiting for me. I come right here, and as before I can take another step, I get infused with power to go on. And so I go on and take another. I get infused with power to go on. But if I get off track, I start getting tired and weary, because I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be there. When I go back there, I feel the power coursing through my body again, and I can take another step, and then another step, and then another step. because I'm not doing it in my own strength. I'm doing it in God's strength that I pick up when I'm there. There at that place where I'm supposed to be. Folks, we have to learn how to get there and stay there. Verse 20 in Mark 16 says, and the apostles went out, announcing the good news everywhere as the Lord himself consistently worked with them, validating the message they preached. They had to be doing something. And because they were doing what they were instructed to do, the Lord himself was able to validate their message with miracle signs. That's why he had to spend time getting the unbelief out of them. That's why. Because if you don't have faith, you're not going to be able to do it. I already told you about Elijah. I think there was one more thing I wanted to tell you. Yes. I'll let this be the last one, I think. Genesis 22, verses 15 to 18, says, and it's I believe it's the Message Bible. After the ram was sacrificed, the angel of God spoke from heaven a second time to Abraham. I swear God's sure word, because you have gone through with this. It's what the angel God is saying from heaven to Abraham. Because you've gone through with this and have not refused to give me your son, your dear, dear son, I bless you. Oh, how I'll bless you. And I'll make sure that your children flourish like stars in the sky, like sand on the beaches. And your descendants will defeat their enemies. All nations on earth will find themselves blessed through your descendants because you obeyed me. Folks, you'll be blessed like Abraham is blessed if you go like he went. Find out where there is and make it your business to get there. Father, we thank you. We thank you for clearly showing us that the key to our success is being obedient to your directions, going where you send us, and doing what you tell us to do when we get there. We thank you for your Holy Ghost, precious Holy Ghost, who will bring these words to our remembrance as they needed, and will show us the opportunities we have to walk in them. To walk in them. Father, I thank you that we have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will stop those that heard this message from you tonight. Nothing will stop them from getting to that place called there, where you want them, where you send them. They'll endure any obstacles because they know they'll be empowered by you as they move out and as they continue along the path you laid out for them, because you said your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we thank you, Father, that as they go, they'll know they're going with the one who has the purpose and plan for their lives, who will watch over them, who watches over his word to perform it. So I thank you, Father, for the new attitude of your children, that yes, we can, and yes, we will. In Jesus' name, amen. I said to you a little while ago, I quoted part of the scripture that where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father unless they go through me. That lets us know that we need to have Jesus living on the inside. How do you do? How do you get them in there? You invite them in. You don't cut open your chest. They come in. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. So why don't you make this confession after me? Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried in my place. I believe he went to hell in my place. And after 3 days in hell, he was raised from the dead. And he's now seated at the right hand of God. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you, come into my heart, into my life. I've turned from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I'm turning towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. Show me how to get there. Well, friend, if you made that simple confession and you believed it, you're born again. Jesus has come to live in your heart, and that's something to be celebrated. And we'd like to give you some gifts. We'd like to give you some materials to let you know who you've become in Christ and what are the next steps for you to do. And in order to get them to you, we need for you to contact us. Since you're not here, if you're here, I could just hand them out to you. But we will send them to you if you contact us. And if you have any questions about who you've become or anything we've shared this evening, use the same contact us information and contact me. Use the contact us to contact me. I promise if you contact me, I will respond. May not be the same day, but I promise you, I will respond.